and take some time for him. Don't cut trees for paper, cause it hurts the environment. Stop deforestation, yeah, it's time for him. An acre of hemp makes 20 barrels. No clothes, they got no rent. Well, it's time for hemp. Yeah.
Thank you for taking Time for Hemp. I'm your host, Casper Leach. You are listening to the big broadcast of Time for Hemp all around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AMFM stations all across America, and on the Roku Network. A big shout out to all of my friends up in Canada. Want to say thank you to KDK Distributors for being nice enough to give us a grant to keep us loud, proud, and strong. And also I want to say thank you to all the people that tune in and listen up in Canada and all around the world. On Thursday, we are putting a spotlight here on Time for Hemp on some of the problems in our own country of America. And here in America, we are having a lot of policy changes, and things are not what they used to be. We got almost 20 states now that have medical marijuana. We got a couple of states that have recreational marijuana. We got a few states that want industrial hemp. Even some states are trying to make it so that you can study it and do research on the plant. So it seems the tide is changing. And as a guest today, Todd Stimson is our guest. He is one of the people who has helped to make this tide change. He is in his big home state there of North Carolina. He's been working with his own legislative people there in the state by applying and jumping through all the little hoops. We'll let him tell you about that here in a minute. So he can grow his marijuana plants, been applying for legal licensing and stamps and so on. And then all of a sudden, the government gets a little hernia up there, took us, and they come racing after him, and they try to shut him down. So that is, in a nutshell, what this gentleman is facing as a problem. And like I said, we'll have him on here in just a second to detail more of that. But many times on my program, you hear me make comment about the Vinnie Eastwood show and how much I enjoy the Vinnie Eastwood show and how I think people should make it a point to tune in and listen to the Vinnie Eastwood program, because I think Vinnie Eastwood's clever and smart and funny and enjoyable and a great program that people should make it a point to add to their daily routine. And because I believe that so much, I've made it a point today to ask Vinnie Eastwood to be my joint host on today's broadcast. Vinnie, thank you for taking Time for Hemp. I really love your work.
Well, again, I like it too. And in fact, it's funny you should mention this, because I went to a meeting tonight. When I say tonight, I mean like 10 hours ago. I still haven't slept. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, local New Zealand time. I'm making videos like nobody's business. And it's about this state security bill, right? You know, the Patriot Act, how it gave them ability to illegally wiretap everybody and made all
right,
made all their previous crimes.
Which reminds me too, yes, that and any files that our American Freedom Radio host cannot find of their own shows, I've spoken to the director of Homeland Security. They have those shows on file. We can get them there. Go ahead.
Exactly. It's an international backup system. And you may have heard the story of MrKim.com who got raided. It's one of those things that happens to whistleblowers. You know, it's pretty horrific. And I got shouted down when I was trying to speak at the conference. And this is kind of like one of the first times this has ever happened to me. And I surrounded by a room full of people who allegedly think about free speech for giving compliments to the people who were speaking, and for trying to get people to go to my website so that they could see the video of the meeting itself, which so far I'm the only one who's uploaded the entire meeting. I get shouted down for this, and I've been spending the whole night really, really angry, like in a stew, because of how much work I really do to help people get their voices out. And that's why I'm still awake at 5 o'clock in the morning, because a whole bunch of people didn't let me have my say. So my revenge is to let a whole bunch of people have theirs instead.
Ain't it nice to be a talk show host? We usually do get the last word in. Huh. Are you still there?
Well, I don't know if that's really the point of this. I think the point of it is I really hate scumbaggery.
Well, and so do I, which is why when Todd told me about what he's dealing with, I thought he's facing a lot of scumbaggery as well, because after all, the state, first of all, was working with him, telling him, here's your little stamps, here's your little piece of paper, we're taking your little dollars here, and we're going to make sure that you have no little problems. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a great big problem. Don't you, Todd?
I sure do, sir. Hello, Casper. Thank you. And hello, Mr. Eastwood.
Welcome to the program.
Well, and why don't you, Todd, tell people what it was that you were doing first as far as research? I mean, not many people know that you could apply and get a stamp and pay for a stamp. And just kind of let people know what it was that you were working with legally before everything went south.
What I was doing legally was going through and getting all the permits and numbers that were through the state. The tax stamps were one of the main things that you have to have attached to your marijuana plant if you plan on growing it in the United States. There's only a few states that still have the tax stamp in act, because it was found federally that it was unconstitutional by double jeopardy. But each state pretty much pressures the tax stamps if they choose to. And it's up to them if they want to prosecute people or not. And that what they do there, they are doing it. It's almost a double jeopardy, because you're getting punished for the crime aspect, and then they're getting punished for the civil aspect. When I was paying for the tax stamps, 25% was going to the state. Then the other 75% was going back to the local police department. And out of about $12,000 in tax stamps that I've purchased for my plants, about $8,000 went back to the local police department.
And how much money do you think they're going to make selling your marijuana back to the community that they're trying to protect it from?
It was pretty funny how they had put it on the news saying that I had approximately $180,000 worth, and when I had subcontractors, I was even employing people here recently, and one of my subcontractors had cut all his stuff down and was doing about the same size as me, and I think he only had about $4,000 worth when it was all dry.
So the police have now taken a pay cut by violating their word. That'd be a first.
Pretty much. They were taking their cut. The state was getting their cut, 25%. And then even I was doing a sales tax where it was 4.75 going to the state and then 2% going to our county. So I was paying at the county level, at the state level, and at the federal level just recently, because I did a self-employment tax on what I had made. So the IRS even took my money. But they have a form that's called 280E that pretty much says that the IRS is not a sheriff, but they're there to take your net income, no matter it be legal or illegal.
So it doesn't matter if you're breaking the law, as long as you're making the state money, they don't care.
That's what's so crazy, because I was doing, out of all the things, I was doing like 7 to 8 legally things, doing licenses and the privilege, the taxes and everything. And the only illegal part was the actual growing of the plant. But I was helping patients.
For the vast majority of the time, okay, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying I was helping patients too. I was giving out Treating Yourself magazines. I was educating the public and patients. Oh, just like I had set out on my articles of incorporation that the Secretary of State had got, where I was specifically saying in my statement that it was for educational and scientific reasons.
Um, education and science, not things that police departments are terribly up on, as far as I've seen. Number one, hemp wouldn't be illegal if there was any science involved in the policy decision. Number two, you can't get a position as a police officer anymore these days if you're too smart.
That is correct, because the search warrant that they have for my house is about 21 pages long. Nobody has ever seen a search warrant this size in this county or in this area. It pretty much explains and takes posts off my website where I was saying I was helping the state with its shortfalls, where I was helping patients with different strains for different pains. It's pretty much the way they came in was very uncalled for, too. They came in with a SWAT team and with either AK-47s or AR-15s, something like that, pointed on four teenagers. Because as they came to the house, my daughters sell daylilies, too. And my one daughter thought there was a daylily, a person coming to buy the daylilies. Well, as soon as she looked out the window, she saw the police blocking the whole road, shutting our road down. And then I went out the one side door, and that's when we ended up seeing the all the police officers as I was out the side door. Then I heard the SWAT team come in through the front door and all four of the teenagers in the house screaming.
How large was this warrant again? It was 75 pages or something?
It was 21 pages long. Nobody's seen one that long in this area before.
I've been in the journalism business for like 5 years. I've never seen a warrant that's longer than 2 pages. I mean, and considering it's this big, do you think maybe they're compensating for something like a lack of evidence or an abundance of criminality on their part?
What I've heard is it was a backfill, and that's pretty much saying that, you know, that they finally found they've known about me. I know that they've known about me, but pretty much they're trying to cover their tracks, so they're doing a backfill of what's been going on for the last 2.5 years.
So they're retroactively making this scumbaggery legal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make me look as bad as possible. But once our local news station had put it on Facebook, I had about 70 people that were backing me up, and they erased all those comments, then put it back up, and then agreed to come out and do an interview for me. But not until I showed the public support behind me were they going to come do an interview of me.
Well, that would be the pressure that needed to be brought to bear, I would suppose.
Yes, and that's what hopefully we're going to be doing to try and get it passed here in North Carolina, because hopefully a case like this can be bring more attention to the representatives and the legislators about how dangerous it was. Here I was helping the state for 2.5 years, everybody, and then for them to come in, they could have accidentally shot one of my child, and that itself is just hard to believe, really.
Now, there's a bunch of things that happen to people when the authorities get involved, and having the financial strain of having your business taken away from you is your own form of torture. How are you going to feed your family? How are they going to go to college? You know, what are you going to do? This is what people don't realize when somebody says, "Oh, this person's been arrested for such and such and blah, blah, blah." They don't realize the actual suffering which this hideous law actually causes. And when what really offends me is when people actually go out there and say, "Yeah, yeah, do it to him. He's a bad, evil cannabis grower. Just beer, mate. Beer's good for you. It only kills about 10,000 people a year in the U.S., but it's good for you."
Yeah, that, the city that I live in has actually won the last couple of years for Beer City USA. It's Asheville, North Carolina. There's a lot of local breweries and stuff like that, but the cannabis they try making out to be one of the worst things in the area. We're in a Bible Belt, but if we're in a Bible Belt, which is Christian-based, the truth, honesty, and healing should really mean something in this area. And that's what I'm going to try seeing if it does mean anything in this area.
How do you actually feel about the public support for you during this difficult time? Has it been really, really a big showing, like a kind of overwhelming? Are you really grateful to be alive right now kind of thing?
Yes, I am real happy. There's a group I met at a libertarian convention. That was the last convention that I set a table up for educational purposes. And there was a group called Blue Ridge Liberty Project, which is right in this same area. They're for a free and voluntary society. So they're bringing people into this area for this meeting. And eight of them came out the day after the incident to comfort me and my family. And then even they were the ones to do the interview that pretty much sparked the response from the police to get News 13 to try and make us look bad, because they weren't going to have it on the news or in the local papers until they saw that I had already had an interview, a 13-minute interview with the Blue Ridge Liberty Project. And their response was to call our local news station and say, well, this guy was manufacturing and he had over $180,000 worth. And so that's where they try making you look like the worst person. But I do other things. I have rental property. I'm a handyman. I do electrical work, and I'm also a machinist. So there's other avenues as far as being able to take care of my family. They're not going to demoralize me or knock me down.
Well, I really admire your bravery.
You're lucky to have those resources to back up on, but a lot of people do not. And when they are facing this type of tragedy, it is just absolutely heart-wrenching, and oftentimes they stand alone. I know you are with a community of people who are in your corner. We're going to find out more about what Todd's up to and what Todd is up against after this commercial break. Then we're going to pay our bills. After we pay our bills, we're going to listen to a song about how fantastic marijuana is. I would encourage you to go to iTunes and type into the iTunes search engine, Time for Hemp. And if you do, you'll find all of our podcasts are up there to be downloaded and free to enjoy. Well, we'll be right back at this commercial break and this groovy little tune here at Time for Hemp.
Your vibes, drinking a Guinness and smoking a spliff. The original music makers. Ob your vibes.
Ob your vibes. You have been charged with the illegal possession of the high-grade marijuana. Now tell me, yes sir, how do you plead?
Life on the ganja just to get high. There is no other reason, so don't you ask me.
Give me your light. It's out of sight. Organic, climate, it tonight. They wanna take away your weed, but you know that they are wrong. They wanna burn down the fields until the ganja trees are gone. So if you know just how I feel, weed is nothing to me. We'll line it up and take a leaf and put the smoke into the air. Give me a light, it's out of sight. I got it trying to ganja tonight. Give me a light.
The Time for Hemp live all around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AM, FM stations all across America on the Roku Network. I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you to always...
Whoa. Did you just say the Roku Network? Is that like the Roku Network except the Australian version for the Kangaroo Network?
Thank you, Vinny. I appreciate you jumping in on my introduction. Yes, it is. I'm sorry I didn't pronounce it just exactly the way you like it. I want to make it a point to have all the people who are listening in to go to my website and hit the banners on timeforhemp.com so that our sponsors know that you heard about them here on the big broadcast. Also, I want to let everybody at the NSA, the Homeland Security, know we appreciate you tuning in. And the material that you learn here on the big broadcast, please share with your fellow co-workers. We are celebrating the hard work of activists in the field, as we sometimes say here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and also doing a joint broadcast with one of the other joint guests here on American Freedom Radio, and that is, of course, Vinny Eastwood. I love his work. I love his show. And I wanted to make it a point that our audience has a chance to fall in love with him as I have. Now, Todd, I do not understand why it is that Uncle Sam and the local government took your money, gave you stamps, sent you paperwork, and did this lovely little dance with you before they came running in with their little guns and their grenades and kicking in the doors. What happened? Did you just piss on somebody's day? Did you not do something right? Did you not fill out the right paperwork? Did you sell to somebody when you shouldn't have? Did you fart in the wind the wrong way? What?
Well, according to the search warrant, there was a lady at the end that supposedly called to inform them about what I've been doing, which was just this May, but last year, this lady had emailed us for help, was the subject. And what we did is we in turn helped her with cannabis, to get cannabis, different kinds, which indica was the best for her. And that in turn helped her get off her pills. Well, supposedly she had moved out to Arizona and she ended up calling the authorities because of a disgruntled thing because I didn't have a canna fresh jar on my website under the products. Where even on the search warrant, how it has it, it says that she was used to live in Fletcher is what she told the police department. But the police department did a DMV check on her and noted that she was at least 2 hours away from where I live, is where her city was that was found in the DMV. So it's just something that had happened, but they said that they've been watching and collecting my trash and on certain dates and going through my trash to find paperwork and to find other things. When we would do our bubble hash, we would end up throwing most of the leaves into our compost, but there was some plastic bags that we would put the leaves in before the compost, and they would be in the trash afterwards. Well, supposedly they found some of those and did a NICS test and found that those were to be marijuana. So there's a lot of different things that are on the search warrant. Like I said, it's 21 pages long, so you can pick and choose pretty much on what really gave them the right to come here or what gave them the idea.
Can I ask, do you have any competition in the area?
No, there's a lot of people that do what I do, but none of them were upfront and honest and open like I was, and paying taxes. A lot of them don't even do that. I was just trying to, since our representatives and legislators don't want to listen to us, even after my emails to the study, there was a revenue law study committee down here in Raleigh, and none of them wanted to listen to me. So I figured, well, it's my time to stand up for myself and others as a person, as a citizen, and as a member of society, you know.
Now, you've called this, you standing up, civil courage. Could you define that for us?
Yeah, civil courage is steadfast resistance to evil at great personal risk rather than military valor. And it says, I can do it, fight for what's right. I can do it, not fear their might. And this was one of the last posts that I had done before they had raided my house. So I'm almost wondering if the part where it says not fear their might is the reason they came in with the rifles on teenagers and everything.
Maybe they're trying to teach you a lesson, slave.
Supposedly, but it's just the way that there's so many people that are afraid to stand up because they can lose their livelihood, they can lose their life, it can be their freedom, it can be their position. You know, even an alienation from a community which they identify themselves as, which that's what our country has done over here, is pretty much demoralized and made people feel like, you know, if you're going to try standing up for what's right and that, well, you're just going to get smacked down because you're got... What they told me pretty much is that I needed to kiss the government's ring and ass and then conform to their laws.
Which you were incidentally already abiding on and, in fact, giving them money.
Yes, sir. Thousands of dollars at that. That's what just blows my mind, because the thousands of dollars that I've gave them are up into the $20,000, $30,000. Oh, and now that's about what it's going to be costing me for a lawyer. So I'm having to find alternate routes besides my side jobs to try and do some fundraising and things for my legal defense.
That, it sounds to me that might have been part of their plan, too, was to drain your bank account before coming in and kicking in your door, thus causing you total economic peril.
Yes, because I just sent off to the federal government a payment of over $7,500 for the $9,000 that I owe in taxes to them for the self-employment tax.
Good Lord.
Whoa, hold on a second. Self-employment tax? What the hell is that? You've got to be freaking kidding me.
No, but that's what I have to
pay. I'm self-employed. I don't need somebody to boss me around and tell me what to do and create the entire business for me. I'm self-employed. Aha, we're going to tax you for that.
Yes, that's correct. And just like I said, there's a form that says 280E. It's a 280E form in the IRS that says that they're not a sheriff to determine that you're doing something right or wrong. But it don't matter if your money is legal or illegal, how you make it in as your net income, you still have to be taxed on it.
I'm sorry, I just had my mic muted for about 30 seconds because I was laughing too hard. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. This is how our government plays games with people's worlds.
Yes, they sure do. And they ruin families, innocent families. My family is, my daughter was on the phone with her grandmother. She's 14 years old, but she looks like 12. The police come in with the rifles and then put a rifle at her head, tell her to get off the phone with her grandmother and to put her hands on her head. And that's where I just don't understand why they do stuff like this. I mean, this isn't overseas in Afghanistan or Iraq or anything like that.
Well, you know what's strange enough that you mentioned Iraq or Afghanistan? Allegedly, police forces are now actively recruiting returning veterans, particularly returning veterans with violent problems that are on medication, which cause violent behavior.
Yes, and I think it's their another word for them is adrenaline junkies, is what I consider them. The way that they came in is just wrong completely.
Where's the adrenaline rush? Okay, just bear with me here, ladies and gentlemen. Where exactly do you find the adrenaline rush? Okay, you know, on a body, you're a doctor, you're supposed to find the pulse or something. Where do you find the adrenaline rush on pointing a gun at a girl's head?
That's where I find it hard to believe. And they were all in, they weren't in just regular SWAT team uniforms either. They were in the desert camouflage uniforms. The whole team was. And that's where there was probably approximately close to 50 officers here for one person that's been helping the state and four teenagers.
Oh, desert camouflage. Are you actually in the desert?
No, that's where I'm telling you. A lot of people need to woke up to what's actually going on in this country. A lot of people need to be.
What are these guys doing? I mean, they're obviously not trying to blend into the background. I mean, they just walk out of the house wearing any old thing.
No, And what's so funny is that I found out through a confidential informant, I might as well say, that the night before they did the raid, two of the officers were buying SWAT boots. So they were even out the night before buying SWAT boots just for this raid. And then even after the raid was done, my girlfriend Carrie, the mother of my children, were standing outside with her mother. And they overheard the office or the SWAT team members say, "Well, how do you think the training went?" So my house was used as a training ground for them.
Good Lord.
Well,
go ahead. We're down about a minute.
This is something that is just so insane.
It is. And that's what hopefully I'm going to get it out into the public's eye. And maybe this will make a change. I mean, I have a cannabis ribbon as the trademark of my company, and it really has true meaning behind it now to really that I'm putting my life on the line for a change here in North Carolina.
You certainly are. We're going to be talking more about that after the commercial break. We are coming up on commercial break so we can pay our bills. I want to remind people, if you go to iTunes and type into the iTunes search engine Time for Hemp, we have about four podcasts that pop up. One is the Time for Hemp Music podcast that focuses on a whole lot of great tunes about how wonderful marijuana is. The Time for Hemp Today podcast, when our archives are up to date, I release material from that. We have the Time for Hemp Classic podcast featuring all the great shows from the past. And, of course, we're putting up the Time for Hemp live archives into the iTunes programming so that eventually every single program ever done by Time for Hemp will be able to be found and downloaded freely on iTunes. When we come back from the commercial break, we're going to pick up where we left off here with Todd and the joint host of the big broadcast, Vinny Eastwood, here on Time for Hemp.
Like it's just moments since we met. I'm kinda high. Let me introduce myself.
Yeah, baby, let me introduce myself. My name, Casper Leach. The name of the program you are listening to is, of course, Time for Hemp Live, and is heard where? All around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, AMFN stations all across America, and apparently it's called the Roku Network that we're all so on. And this year, I mean, on this date, 1967, for those of you who enjoy hemp history, as well as Beatle history, on this day in 1967, a full-page advertisement appeared in the Times newspaper that was later seen all around the world, signed by 64 of some of the most prominent members of British society, which called for the legalization of marijuana. Among the signatures were, of course, Brian Epstein and John Lennon and Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and George Harrison, who are collectively known in history as the Beatles. Rolling Stones signed on to that, many other singers of the day, and it was all because of what? Of course, an arrest of someone famous for marijuana. And it was at that time that the big stars of the music industry who were rumored to be involved with marijuana stood up and said, the rumors are true. Marijuana is a good thing. In fact, as Paul McCartney said, when I smoke it, I feel more creative. As George Harrison said, when I smoke it, I feel more in tune with God. And when John Lennon said, and what John Lennon said was, when I smoke it, I feel more like having love with Yoko Ono. And when Ringo said that he smoked it, he felt like he wanted to sit down and enjoy some good music, good wine, good friends on a good day. So apparently back in 1967, many people knew then that it was not a bad thing. On the program today, we are having a joint conversation. Remember, anytime you hear the word joint on the big broadcast, nearly 2 million people all around the world hit their pipes, their bongs, their vaporizers, and take Time for Hemp. On the program today, Vinnie Eastwood and I are having a joint conversation with Todd Stimson. Todd, you've been working diligently in what we have referred to as, or what is referred to as, civil courage.
Yes, sir.
We'll jump into that.
Okay. I just want to do a quote from Martin Luther King real quick.
There comes Hold on a second. You're fading back there a little bit, Brian. All right. Here we go. Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
That's all right. It's a quote from Martin Luther King. It's, there comes a time when one must take the position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. Now I'll go into the civil courage, what civil courage actually is. It's steadfast resistance to evil at great personal risk rather than military valor. I can do it, fight for what's right. I can do it, not fear their might. Daring to stand up for yourself and others as a person, as a citizen, as a member of society, as a human being for humankind. So civil courage involves risking something. It can be life. It can be freedom. It could be your position or your livelihood. It could be alienation from a community which you identify, which you feel part of, love. It could be your family. You and I as citizens have the obligation to shape the debates of our time, not only with the votes we cast, but with the voices we lift in defense of our most ancient values and enduring ideas. You and I as citizens have the power to set this country's course.
Well, we do indeed, and it happens every single day. What I find interesting when people participate once every couple of years in a presidential election, they think that that's their contribution to running the country. Well, actually, you have to live your life diligently in service to your community and your nation as a full-time job rather than a weekend retreat. people don't take their participation very seriously, do they, Todd? And that's why they never even care about or hear about the people like you who actually live a decent, honest, caring, and creative existence that actually benefits people's lives. And they never hear about it because they don't even care about their own life, let alone their country, let alone their freedoms that they're so willingly giving up.
You're correct on that, sir. A lot are afraid to stand up because they would lose their livelihood or their family, or they'd be alienated from a community because they're known to use cannabis. Once you're labeled with cannabis, you're labeled permanently. You're a felon. You can't vote. You can't hold a position in any statehood as a representative or anything like that. Plus, it's hard for you to find jobs. So they demoralize you and try putting you down. And then that way you can never be part of the system to change the system.
It's a terrible negative snowball effect, isn't it? It doesn't get bigger and bigger. It gets smaller and smaller until they don't care about really anything at all.
That is correct.
Isn't that sad? How do you feel about that?
I feel bad because it's like the country is just totally falling apart. It's more of a police state anymore than the freedom and liberty that you're supposed to have in this country.
Well, Todd, according
what's funny?
To
Todd,
Todd, according to Homeland Security, we've gone through your emails and you've told people that before, and we want you to know that you need to stop saying that. Thank you. Go ahead.
I will keep raising my voice no matter what.
What's funny is what you were saying before about how people are just, you know, the country's falling apart and people aren't even protecting the liberties they're supposed to have. Similar words were said at the meeting I was at yesterday. You know, this is the same thing as far as I'm concerned. The whole world is caught up in this process. I had a guy in the Netherlands the other day tell me a bunch of cops jumped him, and then they jumped him for absolutely no reason. They held him down. He called them Nazis, and then they took him back to the police station, and they charged him, you guessed it, with calling them Nazis. There wasn't any probable cause. There wasn't nothing, and they jumped out of an unmarked car. This is global.
That is crazy, and that's what. A lot of the thing is the whole world is a police state. I mean, when they say that the Jews were labeled and everything like that, they couldn't have jobs, they couldn't do such things. It's the same thing that they do to people in this country. They label them as felons, and then they're held back from being able to do things, have jobs, or being able to live a life without being labeled.
Well, we're going to
Tell me what to do.
I'm going to jump in here. We're going to be focusing on the war on drugs on a global basis starting a week from tomorrow. We hope to be having advertising up about it here on the network soon. But I want to remind people that starting a week from tomorrow, the Time for Hemp 2013 Global Summit will be occurring every Friday in August. Time for Hemp Live will be hosting 2-hour specials to produce a 10-hour global cannabis summit with some of the most brilliant minds and amazing leaders of the industrial hemp and medical marijuana movement. This presentation will be broadcast live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, as well as on the AM/FM stations across America and on the Roku Network at 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then made available for free download in the archives, we hope, of American Freedom Radio. And the course will be found immediately up in iTunes. The cannabis legalization movement has long waited to have congressional and Senate hearings, and as well as a chance to meet with world leaders. You know, anytime anybody farts in the wind wrong with a bullet, we have Senate hearings on gun control, but we never hear about medical marijuana or the global war on drugs. So anyway, with that in mind, Time for Hemp is tired of waiting for the cannabis movement to be given such an invitation. And we've organized this 5-conference series During each two-hour commercial-free broadcast, moderators will conduct discussions with six expert panelists brought together from all corners of the earth to present the most current research and statistics concerning this multi-trillion dollar industry. When all is said and done, over 30 professionals will have addressed their concerns and solutions in a format that makes this material available free to everyone, including all the world leaders. I had to jump in there and say that while we still had time. Todd, you got about 1 minute, and Vinny, you got about 1 minute to give a promo shout-out. We'll start with Todd.
Okay, please go to my website. It's brmcrc.org, and hit the links for the videos for support. Plus, give Blue Ridge Liberty Project support, too, as they supported me.
And Vinny, let them know about your show.
Yep, and please go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just search Vinny Eastwood. And at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, there's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. I'm on 5 days a week on American... 5 days a week, AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
You'll know that it's time for him.